Access All Areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to Access All Areas. I'm Stephen Leng.
And I'm Bobby Norris.
You're alive, Bobby.
I'm alive. I ain't kicking, but no, I'm alive.
You've got your leg in a brace?
In a splint.
In a splint, on a chair.
Yeah, so we're resting the old leg. But
anyone that didn't know, you were involved in a little accident last week on Regent Street.
Yeah.
You've spent a little bit of time in hospital, but you're doing okay.
Yeah, so it's been quite a week, to say the least. But you can't keep this bitch there, do you know what I mean? it's nice to be at the house and back in the studio. But thank you everyone for like the lovely messages and comments and everything. It's obviously been a bit of a shitter of a week, obviously. But yeah. I'm here.
You're here, thank God.
And the hospital tell me I'm lucky.
We're delighted.
It could have been a lot worse.
No, so, yes.
We're glad you're okay.
Thank you. Oh, thanks, Ellen.
As always.
yes, that was the voice of Anna Coughlin. Hello, welcome.
Hi, I'm here for more showbiz news.
Yeah.
I mean, if that wasn't the biggest showbiz news story of the week.
Yeah, I mean, it did hit the headlines a little bit, didn't we? But we will move on.
There's still time.
Yeah, who knows what the hell is going to happen next. But I should first of all say we have an exciting show coming up, fresh off the back of Adam Thomas leaving Strictly. We've got a little chat that we did with his wife, Caroline, shortly before he went on the show, which we'll be playing out. And then we have Mark from Married at First Sight UK, this series, who kind of sensationally left the show. He's coming into the studio towards the end. But first up, yep, as ever, showbiz news, Bar Bobby.
Yes,
Bar What's been
Bobby.
Going on in the world?
What
Ellie?
Else? So the second biggest news story today, Girls Aloud.
Oh, don't.
They're coming back. Are we excited?
This is literally, for a pretty grim week, this has put a smile on my face, to be honest. I mean, I think I've spoken about it before and it's no secret. I'm a huge Girls Aloud fan.
Oh my God, and, same.
I'm guessing it'll be by next year, the tour. So I'll be back on my feet and I'll be dancing around the O2. I'll have two legs by then. So Cheryl, watch out. I'm coming, girl.
You have something to aim for now. The Girls Aloud 2024 tour.
Slight dropping at the O2.
Talk us through the details of what's come out.
So basically, they have already recorded a single, first single, to their reunion. And they have also filmed a music video. And apparently, they're all dressed up as superheroes for it. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. But this seems like it was like the best kept secret of all time, doesn't it?
Definitely.
Like, apparently they were like going to the studio in North London and like making this single for God knows how many weeks, and not one person has spotted them until now. So I really can't wait for that. That's going to be good. And I think their first single is obviously dedicated as well to Sarah Harding. So
that's lovely.
Because apparently within the band there was meant to be a rift throughout the years and, you know, a lot of talk. But I'd say probably the death of Sarah Harding probably brought them closer together. I'd say that's the reason that all of this is actually happening in the first place. So it's nice that they're dedicating it to her.
Yeah, definitely. I think I remember at the time talking quite a lot about Sarah when she passed away, because it will happen quite quickly, didn't it?
Yeah.
It was a bit of a shock, and I reckon you're probably right, because I know that in the press over the years there was a lot of talk about how Nicola, Cheryl and Kimberly were all like super tight.
Yeah.
And Nadine and Sarah a little bit on the outside, right? But now it seems like all is forgiven, everyone's sort of getting on with it.
Totally.
I think sometimes in life, when something as awful and heartbreaking as that happens, it kind of puts things into perspective.
Totally.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think there's a group in the world, whether it's boy groups, girl groups, like there's always going to be like argy-bargy.
You can't get on all the time.
I mean, of course you can't. It's not going to be all friendship bracelets and unicorn shitting rainbows. But it's nice that St. Good's come out of it, and there's going to be a lot of happy fans. I'm sure I'm not the only gay man in the UK that's celebrating.
I think gay men around our age, Bob, will probably be pressing.
Happy as a dog with two dicks right now.
pressing on Love Machine on their Spotify and sort of and enjoying themselves.
Nostalgia.
Will we be getting some, like, a new album? I know we've got a single, but
yes, so there's a new album in the mix, but I would like to see some of their old songs as well. Like when in the tour, we want a mix of South of the Underground and all the
I want nostalgia
classics.
Yeah, we want the classics. You can drip in a couple of newbies. We won't be mad at that.
No,
but we certainly want the classics.
Yeah, exactly. We'll be fuming if not. So if you're listening, girls, classics please.
And free tickets would be lovely.
That's true.
Yeah, we'll come and review it.
We'll take a box seat at the O2.
We'll have to get the girls in the studio.
I would be very delighted to have them in.
Shout out if you're listening, girls.
Yeah, come on in. There's a seat here for all of you.
Well, not at the moment because Bob's legs on it.
Ruining everything, Bob.
Classic Bobby. Well,
what else has been going on?
So Britney Spears' younger sister, Jamie Lynn Spears, is rumoured to be going into the I'm a Celebrity jungle. So that will be a good one. Although Britney's fans aren't happy because they're afraid in case they'll cause more hurt to Brit, especially after her book has come out. And, you know, she's like spoke about how much pain her family has put her through. So, you know, her fans don't want her to go through any more hurt. But I don't, even if Jamie Lynn does go in, I don't think she will talk about her sister. I can't see it happening. No. Like, there's been loads of high profile celebrities going in there and we're hoping that they're going to spill the tea. Like Caitlyn Jenner went in and we were kind of all hoping for like some Kardashian drama, but she didn't really say much, did she? So we're always kind of disappointed on that front. There's probably loads of NDAs signed left, right and centre. So
100%.
You know, I don't know.
You would want her to be spilling tea around the fire. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And of course, it's a tricky one because obviously Britney's, and I love a bit of Britney, obviously, but I'm not opposed to a secret or two when I'm sat down with my Maltesers watching The Jungle. Well, I'd like to know a little bit, do you know what I mean?
But exactly.
I mean, is she going to say anything? I mean, but Jamie, let's have it right. She's half dined out on being the sister, isn't she? That girl's diary is busy.
Yeah. I know. But you know what? She is kind of a star in her own right. She's an actress. She does Zoe 101. I feel like she's probably bigger in the States than she would be here. Like, I doubt many people would know her here. She could probably walk down the street and not be stopped.
Apart from the fact she does look a bit like Britney.
Yeah. People would probably think she's Britney. Yeah. That would be it. But she's done Zoe 101 for years. I think she started that when she was 8 years old. She was the main character, Zoe, in that. And they've done a few spin-off movies. And she does, I think it's called Sweet Magnolia or something, but it's on Netflix. She's the main character in that as well. So she is like, she has been acting for years. She's a star in her own right.
Close to the dad. She very much team dad. Because obviously everything that Britney, hitting the mic there. Everything that Britney's been through, and we now know obviously she's now released from everything. They're very much not BFFs, are they, Britney and Jamie?
It's a funny one because Britney actually goes back and forth a lot on this. Like, she often kind of praises her sister and like professes her love for her, and everyone's kind of confused because in her book she calls her the B word and says quite nasty stuff about her. And then Jamie's book, she said quite nasty stuff about Britney as well. She always felt like she was in her shadow, which is too right. Like,
because if your sister's Britney, let's have it right, fucking hell, of course you're gonna be.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, their relationship is frayed, but it's confusing. Like, I'd say the sisterly love is going to always be there, but they still bicker online.
Well, let's shove a couple of kangaroo testicles in her mouth to see what she has to say. Come on, Jamie, pack your bags, get on the flight to Brisbane.
She won't have a lot to say with the balls in her mouth.
No,
we'll soon see. I'm not mad at it though. If ITV throw her in there, I'm not mad.
I'd watch it.
Last week we were talking, weren't we, about Nigel Farage being on the show. I've seen, obviously, there's a few other names. Josie Gibson, who I love. Mm-hmm. Alan Housel from Coronation Street. I mean, it's certainly like Grace Dent, the food critic. Right. I mean, like, it's going to be a mixed bag of people.
It really is.
I mean, what the hell Jamie Lynn Spears and Nigel Farage are going to have to talk about?
Jamie Lynn Spears won't know anyone. That's the thing. She'll be so confused. Yeah. She'll have to do her research before she goes
in.
It's
like when Janice Dickinson goes in and she's like, you have to tell me like what
are all these people? Yeah.
But like I said about Caitlin, I remember Caitlin's year. I think she was pretty honest from the off. Yeah. Didn't have a clue. She didn't know anyone from a bar of soap.
Yeah.
And fair play, why would she? Living her life in a Kardashian Jenner world, she ain't going to know someone from Coronation Street.
No, exactly.
But that sometimes makes it better though, because Jamie's going to be sat there. She's just going to take everyone for, and anyone that, I think it's often like people that come from overseas when they're in there and they don't know our celebrities as well.
Yeah.
They're not coming up with any miscon ideas. Like, they just want to know what time it is. So yeah, I'm excited. I've heard Frankie Dettori might be going in as well. Know that the Joker.
Yeah, yeah. Another odd name to throw into them.
Yeah, a weird mixed bag that we're going to have. But like you said, I think it'll be good because Jamie Lynn will probably ask the questions then. That if you did know who Nigel Farage was, you probably would be afraid to ask.
Yeah.
Where she'll probably just ask whatever. If she's interested enough.
I'm still going to be boycotting if Nigel's on, though.
Yeah.
You're not fair.
No.
So he interviewed me for his show, and I've said he was very lovely to me, but
What, on GB News or something?
Yeah, so right. He does a segment, I can't remember what it's called now, not have a point with me, but something where he goes around.
No wonder you were on that show.
I didn't have a point, I think I had a gin and tonic. Yeah. But yeah, he was lovely to me. But
I don't doubt he can be a very charming man. He didn't. That's how he got into the position he is, right? Mm. But I just don't agree with his politics. And I think
I'm not judging him, but I put politics aside.
Yeah,
the speakers I find, and but that's why I love the jungle, because when you strip everything it's back true. And you throw people in, it doesn't matter what your job is, where you're from, what you're worth.
Yeah,
you can't. It's an equalizer. Everyone's just on one level.
Yeah,
trying to keep a fire alight and get water.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
So,
yeah, great show. I'm excited to have it back. Yeah. I think that's a couple of weeks it starts, doesn't it? 19th, is it? Yeah.
Straight after the Big Brother final.
Well-timed ITV, well-timed.
Well done.
Like it.
I know. Keep us watching the telly in the winter. We need like a lot of shows.
I know. I'm actually really obsessed with it. Big Brother I've become obsessed with, so.
Yeah, same.
We don't need to see about Nigel, because I'm not going to watch if he's on. But, you know.
So I'll be watching, guys. Yeah. So I'll bring the jungle tea and I'll fill Stephen in.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Now I've said it, I can't go back.
Yeah, I think we'll have to start winding Stephen up, and we'll just be like, he's actually really good.
He's the cutest man.
And we love it.
I'll just turn your mics down. Yeah.
And speaking of the jungle, do you know Olivia Attwood? She was rumoured to be going in as well, but I think she's been ruled out now because she has a new ITV dating show. Mm. Now, they haven't said what it's going to be, but apparently it's going to be similar to Love Island. So it's going to be a full circle moment for her. She's doing so well at the moment.
So good, yeah. She's smashing it. Mm. I'm excited to see what it will be.
Yeah, totally.
And dating shows, they are the thing at the minute that people are loving. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What was the one Davina did also on ITV?
My Mum, Your Dad.
My Mum, Your Dad. Loved that. Brilliant. Do you know what I mean? So any twist on a... Yeah. As long as it ain't like a carbon copy of Love Island, which if it's being made by ITV, which it is... They're not going to reproduce something that they're already making. So I'm excited to see what twist it is. Oh, yeah. Putting faces there, Stephen. What do you think? Do you think it's going to be Love Island 2?
They do love to kind of milk that franchise. So I wouldn't be entirely surprised if they... But, you know, like you said, Olivia's obviously managed to sort of establish herself away from the Love Island. Mm. That interesting mix, really, in a way that sort of Zara McDermott has as well, where it's sort of... She did the show, but she's a bit separate.
Yeah, and she has those documentaries as well. They're all about like online sex and sugar daddies and sugar babies and stuff like that. So quite interesting, that kind of those documentaries. So maybe it's going to be, I don't know, a bit more risque, because I feel like Olivia Attwood could pull off a more risque kind of show.
Do you remember that dating show Man O' Man?
Oh my God, yeah, I do.
I think that was probably one that we were watching. Yeah. They used to have a lot of topless men around a pool, didn't they? And the woman had to push them in.
It was
they
a great
didn't like
show.
Them.
That was the whole show.
Yeah, I think it was put in by Denise Van Outen or something.
Yeah, it was just... Yeah.
Who's also rumoured for the jungle.
She was, she's also rumoured,
Old DVO. Yeah, Half Naked Men it was. Yeah, I don't know why me and Stephen loved that show so much.
Yeah, strange one, that, actually. Yeah, they might bring that back for you guys.
Yeah, and I'll host that one.
Yeah, perfect.
But congratulations, Liv. Great gig to get.
Brilliant. Good.
Amazing. And obviously the Robbie Williams documentary, that is out today. So it's on Netflix, 4-part series. And there's a lot of tea being spilled from that today, actually. So I actually completely forgot that he was going out with Jerry Halliwell.
Yeah, they had like a fling, didn't they? Like a summer fling.
He was giving her one, basically, wasn't he? Allegedly. It was not even allegedly.
He was.
He weren't platting her ass.
Well, because he talks about why he dumped her in the Netflix show, doesn't he?
He does. It actually, they were in the south of France together on a trip, and the paparazzi kept showing up wherever they went. And he was getting really paranoid at that time. So... he was speaking to one of the paparazzis one night, and they told him that Jerry was the one spilling where they are. So he got super paranoid. Okay. He said he never actually addressed it with her, but he did at that time think that it was her. And he said that that's kind of what led to the relationship fizzling out. That and the fact that they probably were more friends than they were lovers. But
I think at the time, if I remember rightly, it was like Jerry post Spice Girls, right? She'd left the Spice Girls at that point.
Yeah.
Robbie was still very much in his, like, the prime of his solo career.
Yeah.
So he probably felt like at the time, Jerry was maybe being a bit of a chancer, like maybe. Being like, I want to get pictured everywhere I go with Robbie.
Yeah.
It would be good for her career.
See how they would have been. I mean, he was the first to leave Take That. She was the first to leave Spice Girls. So they'd kind of, they was pretty much in the same situation. Yeah. It was kind of the both first to go solos and do their own thing. Yeah. But it's funny, like you say, there's certain celeb couples that you just forget ever was a thing.
Yeah, totally.
Do you know what I mean?
I totally forgot about the two of them. But he actually does say that in the documentary as well, that she was the only one who was able to relate to that situation that he was in his life, because they were both left their groups, tried to make solo careers, and they were both battling with illnesses. So he had a drug and alcohol addiction and she had bulimia. And they were really honest with each other, and they helped each other through their illnesses.
That's nice.
Yeah, they were really, really close friends, and they still speak really highly of each other. Like he speaks really highly of her in the documentary. So
I'll definitely be watching it. I mean, I loved the Beckham one.
Yeah.
And I love a little thing you can binge on Netflix. Do you know what I mean? So I'll certainly be seeing whatever tea he spills.
The only thing about the Beckham one is it was really curated. Like, it was their production company, wasn't it? It was like all done by them. Whereas I feel like this Robbie one is meant to be like, no holds barred.
What's the tea on him being jealous of Gary? Oh, Mr. Barlow.
So he actually apologises to Gary in the documentary. He said that he was envious of him because he could tell that Take That was the Gary Barlow show. And they were just featuring the group around Gary, and they wanted Gary to be the star, so they were pushing that. And he said it felt really uncomfortable, but he took out all of his anger on Gary. So he said a few things. I said he said something live on stage about Gary. I think he called him a name and he apologised. He said it was just because he was young and he wasn't the centre of the attention, so he wanted to be that person.
It's funny because I feel like, because although Gary was a songwriter, right, and it was the songs that were really at the centre of, like, Take That, he couldn't dance.
No. And Robbie was typically the what you would call the pretty one.
Yeah. And like, he charisma. He was, like, you know, funny, and, like, yeah, he did all the comedy stuff. And
yeah, and in the end, he became the bigger star. So, like, you know, he won.
But it shows you the dynamics of the group, what goes on behind closed doors. Everyone's all got their own little thing going on in their head, so...
And like, we from the outside look at them, think, oh, what a perfect life. They have everything they want. And then in their universe, it's tit for tat and I want to be the star and whatever. So it's an interesting insight.
They're friends now, though, aren't they?
They're friends now. They're close friends now. So I think it's all water under the bridge there. I'm pretty sure he probably would have spoke to Gary about saying all of that stuff in the documentary. But he also talks about his wife, Ada. He actually broke up with her 3 times. He was trying desperately to get out of that relationship and she wasn't letting
she
happen.
She wasn't having none of it.
No, she was like, absolutely not, get back here. But I think it was a lot to do with his addiction as well. Yeah. And apparently when you're going through AA, you have to, you're not meant to be in a relationship. You're meant to just focus on yourself. Mm. And I think he broke up with her while he was in, like, rehab twice and then one other time. But they ended up getting married in the end. So
and
it's all good.
What, 3 kids? 4 kids?
Three something kids, like, so, I mean, 3, 4 kids? Yeah, so...
It's all going all right.
It's all going all right now. Yes. Yeah. And so Amber Davies, she's doing... she actually spoke today about being spiked. It was 1 year when she came out of Love Island. And it's actually quite scary. She was out in a pub with her friends and she just had a drink and she started to feel really weird. And her friends luckily kind of knew what was after happening, because I think she'd only had 1 or 2 drinks. And her cousin was in the bar across the way. So they called her cousin over and they luckily got an ambulance straight away. And she was just basically told to sleep it off. But she's speaking about that experience now, trying to warn other people and warn women as well to look out for their friends, which is a sad state of affairs, isn't it? She's doing a campaign with Malibu Rum, and it's basically just trying to ask women to look out for their friends when you're on a night out, and just look for the signs as well, like if you're feeling dizzy or whatever. And they're basically asking people to, like, notify the staff in the place if you see something is wrong, call an ambulance straight away, and drink a sip on water until the ambulance crew get there. So that's kind of what they're talking about. I saw that in the papers today. It was quite
a great time, I guess. Leading up to, there's going to be a lot of Christmas parties. It's the festive season approaching. But not even just obviously girls out there, just everyone. It's so easy to say, but after you've had one or two, it's so easy to forget. But always keep your eye on your drink, do you know what I mean? Because once it's poured, you put it on the side, you go to a toilet, you can speak to people. Yeah. It can be done in like a split second, something, do you know what I mean? So everyone should have your wits about it, which again is easier said than done. But it's scary, it's awful. You go out for a nice time. And
isn't it? Like, I've seen a few bars that are doing these like cup shields now.
Yeah.
With like you can pierce it with the straw.
Where you get your straw in it, almost it's like a condom for the glass.
That's it. So like people can't drop stuff into your drink, but I just think, what world are we living in?
Yeah, when you're putting a Johnny on your gin and tonic, you know? It's sad because it's the
people that do it that are the ones that have caused this people to have to think like that. It's a real shame that someone at Amber had to go through something like
that.
But this is a good time of year, like you said, to be talking about it because it's party season and people are out and about.
Exactly. So I think that's a really important campaign. And lastly, Timberland apologises for saying Justin Timberlake should put a muzzle on Britney Spears. Can we leave Britney alone?
Poor Britney.
Leave her alone.
Give the girl a break.
She's been through so much. Yeah.
Her sister's halfway to Brisbane as we speak to spill the tea allegedly.
Poor girl,
bitch just wants to turn her phone off and close the door for about 3 months.
Exactly. And actually, when I saw this headline today, I presumed that this was something he said years ago, around a time when everyone was just misogynistic and saying whatever the hell they wanted. Because then when I saw he was apologising, I looked into it and I said, oh, he only said this like the week her memoir like got released. So that was like, what, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Like, mate,
I don't mean to be rude, but who the fuck is still listening to Timberland's opinion on things?
Exactly. Who was even interviewing him and why? Like, put a muzzle on Timberland.
I think we're all in agreement with that. Well, Ellen, thank you so much for running through the showbiz news today.
No worries.
We've got what were we going to talk about?
Strictly. Adam Thomas,
the final bit.
He was kicked out of Strictly, so
that
was a shock.
Was a bit of a shock, yeah, I think, because he was good, right? And he was in the bottom two with my fave, Angela Rippon.
Right.
Who I'm going to Strictly in a few weeks. I want her to still be in. Do you know what I mean, babe? luckily enough, actually, you chatted, didn't you, with his wife, Caroline?
Yeah, with Caroline. I had a lovely little chat. I think it was like just, he'd started rehearsals. I think it was the week before the live show. So yeah, we had a lovely little chat. And I tried to, get her thoughts because she owns a dance school. She's a dancer herself. So I kind of thought, what's her thoughts? Any predictions? So, we've got a nice little interview to play with Miss Caroline Thomas now.
Nice.
Thank you very much. And thank you, Ellen.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ellen. So, hello, my lovely. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. How are you?
Really good, thank you. Really good. Thank you for joining me for an interview.
My pleasure. No problem at all.
Now, I know that you're back in this huge campaign at the moment. Can you tell us more about it? It's a back-to-school campaign, isn't it?
Yeah, so I've partnered up with Birdseye, basically, just because I feel like people don't know how good your freezer is, as in it's so stressful back-to-school time. And just remembering that you've got your freezer there. You don't have to be making crazy meals that you spend hours making them. And it's just taking a little less pressure off you. So Birdseye have done this amazing campaign. They travelled around the UK over the last couple of weeks, handing out bundles, just to make sure that people remember them and know that the freezer's there. With the past couple of weeks, I think Ted and Elsa have been back for 3 weeks now, and I can't tell you how many times I've just used my freezer and they've had nuggets, waffles and peas, fish fingers and peas, because it's just, there's so much to do when you're going back. It is insane. Like, homework, everything is crazy.
I guess, especially at the minute, with Adam now taking part in Strictly, I bet trying to pre-plan dinners and things is just impossible because there's some serious training, like hours going into
that. Yeah, there really is. It's a lot, and he's back on Waterloo Road at the minute as well, so he's working with Waterloo Road and he's training as well, so there is a lot going on. And as I say, I don't know whether he's here, he's not here. So sometimes it's just easy for the kids. I can be done in 20 minutes. They can be doing the spellings, the reading, the homework while I'm doing the dinner. And as I say, it can be done in 20 minutes rather than me stood there stirring a pot and adding more water. Oh, just not got the time for that. Not got the time for that.
No, exactly, babes. Now, you're a professional dancer yourself, don't you? And you run your own dancing school.
Yes, so I've got a dance school, yeah.
So are you giving Adam a few little tips and hints?
Is so he coming many down people the have said roll? That to me. At the start, when he first started, he was doing it, and there was a bit of a routine that was actually on Saturday. He said, like, what is this about? And he stretched his arm like this, put his arm up, and I was like, stretch your arm. And he's like, because his arm was all bent. And he's like, I'm not having you as a teacher, you're mean. So I think I'm a bit hard on him. So we did about 10 minutes and that was it.
I guess it's like one of them things, like parents trying to teach. I think some people can teach family or partners things and some can't. Now, I know, like, when it comes to, like, teaching driving and things, some parents can have got the patience for kids and some are like, no, have lessons with someone else.
No.
Is
no
it a
way.
Similar thing with dancing? Are you saying to Adam, no?
Yeah. I'm not helping. Both my kids dance and they're great. Like, they're really good. Like, I have them as, you know, I teach them and they just get on with it. They kind of just fit in with the rest of the class, whereas Adam, I just don't think that would be the case.
Do you think it's one of them things, and I guess there's a lot to be said for when people start doing something young, so see whether it's tennis, football, dancing, mm-hmm. people, the younger you start, you don't know any difference, do you? So I guess by the time you get older, if you've done it for years.
Yeah.
So do you think anyone can learn to dance as an adult?
Yeah, absolutely. And do you know what? We do have adult classes as well. And I think it's just a bit of a release. Obviously, if I'm doing children towards a show or towards a competition, it's a lot more kind of intense, making sure everything's correct. Everything's, you know, like your posture's correct, making sure it's all very technical. Whereas, you know, like adults come, they probably come in from work. They've had a stressful day at work. It's just a bit of a release and just a bit of fun. And if they're on the wrong leg, you know, they're going the wrong way, then they just have a laugh and kind of make fun of themselves and just a release. So it's really nice, you know, for that kind of to happen.
And there's a lot to be said for just moving about, isn't there? So whether some people like to go to the gym, some like to dance. It's all movement and it does make you feel... You get up and do something, going for a walk or a jog or a run, you feel better after, don't you?
100%. And I think gym is quite like a scary thing, and especially if you're not in that world, whereas dance is a little bit more of a release and a little bit more of a social thing, whereas, you know, if you're in a big group, whereas I think sometimes the gym, I hold my hands up, I don't do the gym. It scares the life out of me. I've go a couple of times when Adam shows me what to do because I'm like, oh, if I drop one of those weights, then I'll break my leg or it scares me. So yeah. I think sometimes it's just not, dancing's a really nice kind of way, and getting your children into it young is amazing. But as well, Ted's just started football and I feel like his dancing has helped him with his coordination with football. There's just so much for the kids to do these days after school, hence why I can just turn to my freezer.
So Adam's quite good at pulling his weight in the kitchen, is he?
He does, you know. Yeah, he is actually. I mean, I'm very good at complaining about him, but he actually is. I don't say enough nice things, I don't think. You only talk about the bad things, don't you?
Told you, though, yeah. It's the way it is, isn't it? It's the way it is,
babe. Absolutely.
On average, then, how many hours is he out and about for a day? Because some people say, like, especially when you're juggling around a day mm-hmm. job, so if he's filming Waterloo Road, which is long hours.
Yeah, last week he was getting picked up for Waterloo Road at like 6 a.m., on set for 7. If he wasn't in back to the first day, I think it was Tuesday, was back to back all day, every like scene till 7, and then he'd go training and be home at 11. Whereas the following day, I think he had a couple of scenes out. So then his partner went to Waterloo Road and was training him. It's just a lot. It's a lot going on. Whereas I think the rest of the celebrities aren't working at the minute. They're lucky enough to kind of have all their focus on Strictly, whereas poor Adam's just got it coming out of his ears.
Which is going to make it a lot harder to find the time and the practicing stuff. It's not just learning the routine. It's having the hours to go over it and over it and over it if you're working around the day job.
Yeah, and he wants to give it a really good go, to be fair to him. So he's putting everything he's got into it at the minute.
Do you think he can win?
Yeah, I do. I hesitated then because I think the best thing about Adam is, forget the dancing, his personality, and he's so lovable. And that's what I love about him, because he has this ability to make you smile. And I think that is what will hopefully come across. I think the dancing will need work, and it does need work, but I think you'll be able to see, and the viewers will be able to see him kind of go on this amazing journey. And I just hope his personality shines through.
And I think you've hit the nail on the head. For me, I always think in shows like that, it is the journey.
for someone. 100%. So it's lovely when you see someone week one that can turn up and point their toes and have perfect lines and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But when you can see someone that literally is out of their comfort zone, but is willing to give it 100%.
Yeah, and he is out of his comfort zone. I think he's probably more nervous about this than the jungle. When he did the jungle a couple of years ago, I think this is more because it's, you're just on show. You're just like, you're giving it all. Whereas the jungle, it's just trials. And if it goes well, it goes well. It doesn't. Whereas this, it's like, you're just putting yourself, leaving yourself right open. And it is something out of his safety box, really.
And I guess the thing is, with like shows like the jungle, where you're with other people, though you're with other people on Strictly, when it comes to your dance time, there's just two of you on screen for that 90 seconds. Now, to a lot of people, 90 seconds probably don't sound a long time. Mm-hmm. But when you're trying to do a dance, it's a very long time on live TV.
And then it's being able to pick up if you have just gotten the wrong leg or you have just turned the wrong way, like knowing the music enough and well enough and the choreography enough to go, right, we're going to pick it up from here without being able to say to your partner, right, should we go from here? Just getting on with it.
Can we do that again?
Yeah, sorry. Just a rewind on live TV.
So will you be trying to get down there as much as possible to watch?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so it's the first live show this week. So I'm going down with Adam's mum on Saturday.
Oh, that's exciting.
I think I'll just be, I'll be watching like this through my hand, you know, like a scary movie when you're like that.
Yeah, bless you, because obviously you're going to be sitting there as a professional dancer, so I bet part of you's got to be sitting there for him trying to wish him to get all the moves right.
Yeah.
Then there's going to be the pro, oh my God, it's going to be such a mixed bag of emotions for you.
How do the kids feel? Yeah, they're really excited. As I say, the kids dance as well. So, like, Ted's been going, no, Dad, you don't do it like that. You do it like this. So, but, yeah, I think they're just really excited. So, my sister's with them this weekend, so they're going to watch it at home. And then, as I say, I'm going down with Adam's mum. So, yeah, we're really looking forward to it.
Oh, God, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Send my love to Adam and wish him luck for the weekend.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Take care, darling. See you soon.
Bye, love you.
Bye.
Well, Bob, your warm wishes did fuck all, right? Because he's out. So.
He had a fair old run, though, to be fair. And he went on a journey, which I think Strictly is all about.
Week six.
Well done, Adam.
She seemed lovely.
Lovely, lovely girl. Yeah, really nice. Nice chat.
Nice chat. But we move on.
We do.
Because we have a guest in the studio, which is lovely. It's Mark from Married at First Sight UK.
Hello.
How are you, Mark? Cool, right, babe?
Yeah, good, hon. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
Thanks for coming in. It's always a treat to have a guest in the studio.
So how is everything post-show? All crazy right now.
So crazy. I'm loving it, though. Like, social media obviously can be hard. So during the show, should I say, it wasn't very pleasant. But the people on the street, they're really nice. Like, I'm getting really nice comments now. People loving me. So I'm just loving life right now.
So when you say weren't not like social wise, because you know it's a bit of a be social. Generally, we all love a bit of social media, but there is a dark side to it. How dark did it get for you? Was it really bad?
Well, when someone wants to threaten to run you over and stab you for some reason,
been there,
you know.
Quite recently. Yeah.
I'm like, what did I do, hon? I didn't kill your cat. Like, what is it you're hating?
Well, so yeah, explain for anyone that doesn't know basically what happened to you in the show, because actually it's quite of unusual for Married at First Sight, isn't it? So talk us through it.
So the first issue was I had a disaster with my shirt. So I was getting married and the shirt wasn't the right shirt because my shirt had skull studs down the front of it.
Yeah.
So it had to be a special shirt that had a slit next to each hole so the stud could fit in. Anyway, it was the wrong shirt. So I was like, obviously I can't do it without the shirt because I'm getting married in the studs. So I was like, the wedding's going to be off if I don't get this shirt, which is fair enough. Like, if I was a bride and the dress was wrong,
yeah,
you know.
Yep.
You want to feel your best.
Yeah, you only do it once, twice, three, whatever, you know. The first time's going to be the best. So I was like, this has to go right. And they turn up with a Tesco shirt and was like, can you use this? No. I cannot use that. Like, it's a short sleeve with a little pocket here. No, who's getting married to that? Don't get me wrong, my pyjamas are F&F, you know, I love a bit of F&F, but not on the wedding day.
Yeah, fair.
So 3 hours later, we get the shirt, you know.
So they delayed, the wedding's delayed for until someone can find the right shirt.
Yeah. But in my defence, there's only two shops, one in Billericay and one in Colchester. And we were in Colchester. So luckily, if it was going to happen, at least we were in the area of the shop.
Yep, so fair.
We just had to wait 3 hours for it to open.
So where did they go, Asda, and get a George one or...?
Tesco, Hans. They went freaking Tesco.
But that was the first one. What was the second one?
No, they got the actual share.
Yeah. So then I thought, okay, cool, perfect. And then it was like, you're running late 3 hours. Again, it's fine. It's, you know... You expect to be late.
3 hours is a bit long. If you were 3 hours late for this interview, we'd be all gone home.
I'd be on Zoom. Then we could have done Zoom. They didn't offer me Zoom. Could have done Zoom. If it was 2 years ago, we would have done Zoom.
Yeah. So, it was nice to have people in the studio. So fast forward, everyone's waited the 3 hours. Shirt arrives.
Yes.
How are you feeling at the time? You're feeling good. You got the right shirt.
I'm feeling great. Can't wait to do it. But obviously, when the show's aired... It's the drama queen. It's the spoilt brat. Apparently, I'm a little dwarf. Oompa Loompa. They were endless. Tic Tac or something. The guy says from Fantasy Island. The plane.
I don't know.
Google it afterwards. Okay. I didn't compare to that. And I was just like, oh, I'm not hated for just wanting the shirt.
And was it quite full on the abuse post that? Did that week or did that just carry on?
Oh, it
or was
went
it just
full
the episode
on.
Of the shirt?
No, because then after that, we said the vows.
Yeah.
And in my defense, what viewers didn't see was when I was looking at him, the husband, Sean, the son was there. So I wasn't looking at him because I didn't want to look at you like this. So I'm just like this all the time. But obviously, it was twisted that. I wasn't happy, didn't like him. So again, he was in love with me. Don't blame him. And it then turned, again, nasty, how I'm like, Sean is this lovely person and I can't even bear to look at him. And I thought, it's the sun, hun. It's the sun. But we go with the twist, you know, it is what it is. Then comes the honeymoon. When I just thought things couldn't get worse, well, they did.
Oh, no. What happens?
There's... We filmed him pushing me on the sleigh to go into our hotel. And then I was like, Sean, get the bags. And then you got the bags. I was like, Sean, can you unpack? Sean, can you do the dinner? And then I was like, do you know what, Sean? Enjoy your honeymoon as well. Wow, that was it. Debbie from Dagenham was right in my DM. Oh, that's nice of you to let him enjoy his honeymoon. I'm like, hun, calm down. It's just a joke. And they were like, you're a spoilt brat, Mark. You don't want a husband. You want a servant. You need a butler. Yeah, Hannah, too. Do you know what, Hannah?
But in the end, with Sean, you kind of decided to sort of...
So then it turned and people saw that it wasn't all Mark is the drama, Mark is the worst one. I think they saw my good side, my nice side. I'm a great person. And it just sort of fizzled out. It turned to friendship very quickly.
So was you shocked when he said, I just want to be friends, or did you kind of see it coming?
I kind of feel like, when I look back, I did see signs that it was going to happen. But in that moment, I thought, I've given my job up. And, you know, I've given a holiday up to be in this. Like, let's work at it. We was only in it for a month. Like, you've not given it no time. So I was like, let's just give it time. Like, see what happens. And if you're still not feeling it, what have we lost? Mm. Nothing. And the fact that he was so adamant, no, I'm done. I don't want to be here. I don't want to do this. That's when I was kind of thinking, like, I've left everything at home to do this and you just don't want to. So then that's when the fear of rejection comes in. And then it's even worse because I'm being rejected by someone that I probably wouldn't even swipe right to on Tinder. So I'm thinking, maybe I am the issue. So that's when
I started.
Am
I the drama?
Yeah.
So, I mean, cause obviously I'm guessing a lot of people mention this on social and it was made a big thing of. But obviously at the wedding, you told Sean you were 26, but you're actually 36.
Oh, yeah.
So dropping that decade, we ain't gone 1 or 2 years either side. But what was going through your head when you thought, I'm going to shave off 10 years here and blag 26.
A third of your life.
Yeah.
I mean, it takes
some balls. I mean, you certainly can. I'm not saying you look 36, but why did you think I'm going to say I'm 26?
It was instant reaction. As soon as anyone says to me, how old are you? I'm like 26. It's a family thing. My nephew says to me, Marky, you're not 26 no more. And I'm like, shh, honey, I am. You know, I just stopped counting after 26.
Do you think he believed that you was 26? Do you ever say, I'm not buying that? What you're selling, I ain't buying. Or did he genuinely... Was that half the problem?
Well, it obviously came out an hour later that I wasn't 26. You know, the good old brother decided to tell him, how old are you? He's not 26. Would I have told him? Probably not.
No. Ever?
Well, maybe when we're 80 years old and we've got the grandkids running around. And
except
like,
you wouldn't be 80 years old. No. You'd be
26 still. I'd be going around the corner for some more injections.
So, I mean, obviously, because I know these weddings, they're not legally binding, are they? So, because I'm thinking in my head, when it comes to, I'm not sure if people are looking at dates. I mean, I've never been married yet. But when it comes to do you sign something? Would your date of birth been on a pad or like the document you signed that he could have possibly seen if you didn't get grassed up?
No, because we don't sign anything. So there was no way he would have seen
it. So you
unless...
could have blagged it unless he saw the passport at the honeymoon.
Yeah. So unless he would have saw my passport, there was no way he would have known.
And what would you try to still blag it, or would you say games up?
Do you know
now,
what?
I'm 36.
If it's on your fucking passport.
If you see my passport, it's like, don't look like me.
Oh, well, I don't get in and out of the country anymore. Different nose, different teeth. Got to be like, they laugh when I go through customs.
No, to be fair, I probably wouldn't have told him because I'm so blasé about it. Like, when anyone asks, it's just natural to be 26. I would have just forgot about it.
So how are you and him now? Because this, when was it filmed? Like last?
So we filmed in Feb and June. It was all filmed, and then he reached out to me just when we were getting announced to the press. And he reached out to me and he was like, "We haven't spoke since we left." Then at the reunion, which is due to air soon, he came up to me and was like, "Oh, I really want to talk to you. Like, I've got so much to say." And I was just like, "I don't want to hear it. Like, you could have reached out to me behind cameras. You didn't bother. Now that we're on camera, you want to talk to me. There's nothing to say, hon. Like, you live here, I live here. I'm not going to bump you in Tesco, so we don't need to be friends. Let's just cut the bullshit, you know?" So that was that. And then he reached out to me just before we got announced. He was like, "I'm here for you. I've got your back." So I thought, okay, cool. That's nice of him. So when I was getting fucking beat up on social media, I thought, "Hun, where are you now?" "Where are you, hon? Hello?"
Yeah, he weren't there.
He wasn't there. He, I don't know what happened, but the mouth was, And I was like, "Oh, don't know where you got my back, hun, but I'm on the floor, you know?" And so I left it. And then when it come to an end, our leaving scene, he found his voice. You know, when everyone thought he was this lovely person, he found his voice. And then he started sharing stuff and his friends slagging me off and saying how I ruined his experience. And he was reposting it. And I thought, I don't need to see this, hun.
So you blocked him. Right.
I just unfollowed him, thinking no one's going to notice. Went down to my mum's the weekend and she's like, "Why do you unfollow him?" I was like, "How do you know?" She's like, "I read it on The Sun." So, yeah, obviously I wish him well. If I see him, I would say hi, but no.
You're not going to be friends?
No, there's no need to be. I feel like you could have come out and defended me and be like, "Do you know what? It wasn't like that. It wasn't that bad. It's just been edited like that." But I feel like he's put me as a scapegoat. So his excuse was leaving was, I was so worried about hurting Mark. I lost myself in this person. Oh, fuck off. You were that worried about me? I don't think so, hun.
So you talk about the edit, and obviously when you're filming reality shows, you've got no idea what's going out, have you?
No.
Like, because so much is recorded in advance, so you're literally in the edit's hands. They can do what they want.
Yeah.
How do you feel looking back at episodes now? Do you feel you had a rough time in the edit? Was you kind of stitched up, or was it pretty much bang on?
I feel like I'm not going to be one of those that's like, "Oh, the edit made it look like this," you know? Was I pissed off with the shirt? Yeah, I was. Would it have ended? Yeah, if I didn't get the shirt, it would have done. So to an extent, it is me. The only thing I would say is they use your facial expressions in certain situations. So like when he said he worked in New Look, they then managed to put a picture of my face looking like, "Oh, really?" So
that wasn't how you reacted?
Han, I was like, as long as he's got a job, you know, at least he's got an income.
Yeah.
That's all I cared about. Mm. I didn't care. I mean, I'm scared to go into New Look now. I'm worried to go to Case and Bard.
You can't go Tesco's because you hate their shirts. You can't go New Look. you're in a fucking mare when it comes to going Westfield.
I went to Primark the other day in Lakeside and someone was like, "You know it's not Prada." I was like, "All right, hun."
Yeah, I know. <All
right>. Yeah, I can sense it, hun.
You're going to be doing a lot of online shopping for a while.
Yeah, I won't be leaving the house.
But what makes, I always wonder with Married at First Sight, like, truly what makes someone want to do it? Were you actually looking for a husband?
Do you know what? Yeah. Like, when they told me they found someone, I was literally in tears because I thought, you know, being the age that I am,
26.
Yeah. It's hard to find someone. Like, genuinely, like, I've tried the dating apps and stuff. I paid for the dating apps and it just doesn't go anywhere. So, my
when
friends...
you say pay for the dating apps, do you mean premium on Grindr?
Yeah. The threshold. You guarantee a shag, you know.
You can see how far away, you know, much further away. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, so I was just like, how are you supposed to meet people? So my friend was like, they do it scientifically, like, so they're guaranteed to match you with someone. So I thought, okay, it's the only way. So I thought, let's try it. Like, what have I got to lose? I didn't think I'd actually get through because the amount of people that must apply for it.
Yeah, yeah.
But within a couple of weeks, I think, a couple of days or weeks, they called and was like, yeah, went through all this process. I think that's about September. And then by December, they were like, we found you someone. So I thought, this is great. This is it. Because years ago, I went to a spiritualist and she was like, you're going to get, once you start being happy with yourself, you'll find someone. And I was, and then you're going to have a red car. And I was like, I don't like red. Anyway, I got a red car. And then I lost my way. And then I was thinking, so maybe it is a time now. Maybe it's going to work. Oh, she was fucking lying, wasn't she? It didn't work. Put all my eggs in that basket.
Yeah. Put all your legs in that basket.
That was around the head.
Remember, I always like to ask my guests when they come into the studio. It's always my go-to question when we're in the studio doing this Access All Areas. I like to talk about DMs because I'm always interested. Who knows what goes down in the DMs when you've been on TV? Spill some tea. Any blue tick in there? Any blue tick dick in there? What's going on? Spill.
Yeah, I'm in everyone's DMs, but no one's replied. Oh, do you mean the other way around?
Yeah. Who's in your DMs? Are you getting anything?
One person messaged me, but it wasn't... I thought it was going to be something sexual, but it wasn't.
Oh. What did they want? Were what they offering you 5,000 more followers for for just $2 a month or something?
He basically commented on my weight loss and he was like, you come up on my what do they call it?
Explore page.
He's like, so I just want to reach out and say like, well done. And I was like, oh my God, look who's messaged me.
And is he a blue tick person?
Mm-hmm, he's known.
What's his name? Spill some tea. It's only us for a year.
Again, I'm thinking, people say that we looked alike, so I'm thinking maybe that's something that's going to happen. But it was David Potts.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So he messaged me, and I was... So then we were back
and forth. Was he sending dick pics?
No, I didn't even get that far. No. We were just messaging back and forth a bit. He said he watched the show, thought it was funny. We were back and chat, and then
flirty.
That was it. Yeah, a little bit.
Bit of flirty banter.
Yeah, and then nothing.
Oh,
and was you gutted about that? Did you want that to go somewhere?
Well, I thought it'd be nice to get someone who wants to flirt with you. Like, I had one guy come in, he's not got a tick. And then he was just like, you okay? Like, yeah, you. Then I got a picture of his leg and his third leg. And I was thinking, oh, yeah, now I'm great. Yeah, this morning while I'm having my coffee. Yeah, love
big old Corey pops.
Yeah. So, not... And there's a few blue ticks that are friends that will come in and be like, you've done really well. But I actually thought there'd be loads. I thought I'd be inundated.
But do you think that might be because of how you've been made to look through the show? That maybe people...
What, fabulous? Amazing.
People are a little bit...
26.
26 young. And still look great.
Maybe a bit intimidated by you.
I feel... Well, half the show, and I had to ring them and be like, am I on this show? Because you're not showing much of me, hon, are you now?
So what's your type, like, putting it out there? If I said to you, I've got a magic wand, I'm the fairy godmother, who would you like? So let's just keep it so people listening, like, talk people in the public eye. Who would be your type? Who would you like a little bit of? Who would you like to date, marry?
So, like, ideally it would be someone like Amir Khan.
Yeah, hot. Marry, shag, or date.
Well, I couldn't marry for what he does, can I? Well, no, I'd probably marry him and let him do what he wants, you know, stay at home with the kids.
I mean, you've been married already, you know. Yeah.
Why not?
You've had stranger weddings.
Exactly. No. This is the thing. Pen to paper, at the altar, would I know what I want look-wise? Probably not. Like, it varies. You know, I like a bit of Drake. I like a bit of Amir Khan. Sonny J, when I was... talking to him, like, I thought he was quite nice, very young, but we're both 20s, so it's fine. Do you know what I mean? It varies. It's so variable.
So you don't have a specific type?
No, ideally someone in like a tank top, tattoos, tanned.
Broken leg.
Yeah. Oh, so that you can massage the feet for you. But no, I think we all like the bad boy, you know. Would I like someone who's just come out of prison in grey sweat bottoms at the end? Yeah, probably. Is that marriage
only
material?
Only break your heart, babe. Don't exactly. Spend your life wanting bad boys. You always just think that bigger the bastard, the more I love them. But yeah. A bastard's a bastard.
Yeah, you know, we'd like
good
to.
Good way to live, Bob. I like that.
We'd like that. Is it marriage material? No, it's not.
You know? Or do you just want to get shagged behind the bins?
I just want to be pounded. That's what I said to them. I just want to be pounded, hon. Like, I don't care. Pound me.
Yeah, you don't want the roses and the steak and chips, do you?
No, I've got enough. Your meat's fine in my mouth. I don't need a bit of steak. You know what I mean? No, thanks, hon. I'm not that kind of girl. I'm a double cheeseburger down McDonald's, you know? Yeah. Get me through drive through afterwards.
In the car park kind of guy.
Exactly.
Jesus Christ. This conversation has descended. Beyond.
It's the Essex one.
Yeah. they should never have extended that Elizabeth line. what are you kind of hoping to make off the back of you doing the show, though? Are you single now?
Yes.
So you're single now. You're kind of... What are you going to do with your life? Are you going to try and...
I do want to obviously meet someone, but then when they come in your DMs, I kind of feel like, what are you here for? Because when I'm trying to hold a conversation and it's like, you're fit. And I'm like, oh, you okay? And then I just get a dick pic. I'm like, well, clearly, like, this is not going to go nowhere. So I feel the guys that are in my DMs, is it because they've seen me on TV and they think something of it? Is it because they want to shag? Like, I don't know, but they're not giving me no conversation.
Mm.
Like, so I thought, let me download Tinder again. Well, that's not helped either. I went out the area and it's like, you got no matches. I'm thinking, I'm no better off.
You have to leave. Tinder, you have to leave for a little while, though, don't you? To like get the matches to
back. I left it while filming.
Fine. Okay, fine.
Yeah, I left it for a month and a half.
Fine, okay.
The only thing popping off is me grinder. And that's probably because I'm paying for it. I might as well go and see a prozzy, you know, at this rate. Get me down the sauna or something.
But what about work-wise and stuff, though? What are you going to do now that you're out, like, now that it's sort of all done with?
Well, I'm back at my work.
You are?
Yeah, I'm back working. I don't know where it's going to take me or what it's going to do. Like, I've had... loads of people reached out to me regarding mental health. So I basically spoke briefly on the show about my dad. He committed suicide a few years ago. So I've had a lot of people reach out to me saying that their parents have or they feel suicidal. So I think it's great that they've been able to reach out because I do think men's mental health is still, like, a big taboo, men can't cry, men can't speak. So I think it's really nice to do something along that line. But nothing's happening at the moment. So I'm just living my life and just taking every opportunity I can.
Riding the wave.
Absolutely, yeah. Day by day. Now, I think Stephen touched upon it earlier about why you went into the show. Now, reality TV is no longer the new kid on the block. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's been around for a while. And as years go on, and especially when you get into a few series of a new show, people have been fans of that show. And they kind of, some might go in with an ulterior motive.
Mm-hmm.
So let's spill some tea here. Is there any contestants that you think have gone on the show purely for fame, followers, and like a bit of clout? Or do you think everyone's just genuinely there for a lovely ring on their finger or their Mr. and Mrs. Right?
I think we could all say we've watched the show and we can see people are there for the fame. People are there and at the dinner parties, you'll see them screaming the loudest to try and get the airtime. You can see it, you know. Before I went in there, I spoke to Paul, one of the experts, and he said to me, don't go in there and look for cameras and do stuff for camera time because people will notice.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting there and I went in and I could see them. And I'm like, Hans, you weren't speaking to that person last week, but all of a sudden they're crying. You're over there comforting them. Like, you can see it. And when I'm watching it on TV, I'm like, God, they're so desperate, aren't they?
It's quite uncomfortable I can imagine if you're not doing it, to watch it happen in front of you.
Yeah. You, like, and it's a, like, when I got there, it was kind of like, because obviously we come in a bit later, so they're already there. And it was like, don't trust that person. This person's got a notebook down of everything they want to achieve once they leave here. This person is just pretending to be friends with this person. This couple are not really together. I'm like, oh my God.
Name and show, babes.
You want names?
Yeah, I want names. Who's there for fame, clout? Who's the biggest game player? Come on, spill the tea, because you know.
So I feel like, so when I got there, people that we were told to be wary of is people like Peggy and Georges.
Okay.
So Peggy and Georges, when I got there, they said they believe they're the it couple. They've got this notebook, this black book of...
Very mean girls, isn't it? Like the burn book.
Of everything they're going to achieve with the figures and the ratings and...
Fuck, you know it sounds calculated.
Right. So I said to him one day, I was like, okay then, let's be real. Where is this book? And he's like, I don't know what book you're on about. And I was like, this black book. He's like, I don't know. So.
But at what figures were they trying to calculate? What, like viewing figures?
No, how much they can earn.
No.
How much they earn doing a gym collaboration on a sweatsuit or modelling.
I like the idea that they think they're like the Kardashian Jenners.
They must have just been pulling numbers out the air, because how would they have known before it even went to where? How popular it was going to be, if anyone liked. How are they pulling up? They made their own social media feeds by the sound of it.
I was there during the sessions and I was like, oh, what's this week going to be like? And people were like, this has happened this week. I'm like, how the fuck do you know what's happening? Oh, we've studied the show. And I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake. Like, so I do feel this series, out of everything, it does appear more people are on it.
Yeah,
for clout, for
fame. I think
fame.
Most people who are watching it would probably agree with that. But actually, it happens with every single reality show. We've said this before, haven't we?
Yeah.
Love Island,
it is
all
hard
of them.
Because like, after the first and second shows, the experiment's over with. You know, you've done the experiment now. Everything that follows.
And people have got a blueprint, do you know what I mean? So when shows first start, you've got to cut, like, the first year or two, it's a newbie. Because people in the beginning have no idea how things are. But when people have sat back and they've watched it, get series six, seven, do you know, they start thinking, hold on a minute, I'll have a slice of that pie.
Yeah, they calculate what to do, what not to do. For instance, another couple, there was Laura and Arthur. When I come in to the group, everyone told me that them two are not together, like... They're just friends. They've planned to stay friends, but to stay right to the end. And I was like, okay. And then Ella says to me, Laura told me, like, to kick things off, maybe I should flirt with your husband and go for a move on your husband to cause drama. And Ella was like, no, I don't want that. And I was thinking...
What, with your husband?
For Ella's husband, Daniel.
No,
but
so fucking... Oh, that is a stretch.
God, no.
That's a game plan.
I'd be calling Jericho straight back up.
I was going to say.
No, and again... That's happening behind the scenes. So clearly people are there just for it.
Yeah.
I was speaking to someone the other day and they said to me, why is Laura always with the person that's crying? Every time someone's crying, Laura's there. And I'm like, well, I don't know, Hans. We all asked that question when we were sitting at the dinner table.
It's so funny, isn't
Has
it?
Has reunion been filmed yet?
Yes.
And does it kick off? Can you give us any indication of what to expect?
Not without getting into trouble.
Do you know what? I'm trying to think about it because I don't remember that much about it.
Why?
Because they were like, the thing is, they did a reunion, but I feel like they should have waited for the reunion so everyone could watch it, because none of us know how it was looked. And then
right,
do a reunion.
I see. Yeah.
So we can go back and be like, well, you bitch, you said this. Whereas they've gone back so soon after, everyone's sitting in their cliques and everyone thinks everyone gets on.
So did they not sit you in a dressing room and show you footage of what the episodes, even though they hadn't aired?
Oh, yeah, that is difficult,
that's
isn't
the
it?
Way. If you sat them down and showed you, even though it hadn't publicly been acknowledged, you could then judge up until the last step what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's a good point.
We see it when it's viewed on TV. Mm. They'll call you beforehand and tell you, like, little bits. Like, they're going to bring this up, you get upset or something. But when I watched it back and then Sean was saying what he was saying on TV, I was like, the fucking bastard didn't tell me that. He didn't say that to me. That's not how he was planning it to me. And I just thought, what a fucking bastard. Thank God I unfollowed him. Can I swear?
You can.
Yeah,
you have and you can.
I love that you asked 2 minutes before the show ends. But yeah.
But all in all, like you said, we've only got 2 minutes left. How do you feel about your experience doing
Loved it? Thoroughly enjoyed it.
Like, despite all of the...
I went Lapland. I would never go Lapland. Yeah. I went Lapland, all paid for. Like, it was very high there, like, you know. Got everything weighted hand and foot. I had my servants and butlers. If I went, I'd be in a sleeping bag in a tent, sure. Probably. That's his name. How do you know his name? No, I did enjoy it. I probably enjoyed every single bit of it. I thought it was great fun. And I do recommend it if you are looking for someone. If it's just for airtime, then no.
Yeah, but then most of the people that come out of the show don't end up sort of sticking with the people.
No.
The odds ain't great.
No.
There are a few couples. I won't name names, but there is three, maybe four. There's a couple that switch as well.
They're still together?
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's a couple that was in there that come out and now are together separately from different couples.
Oh, what, car keys in a fruit bowl kind of turn?
Yeah. I put my key there, but no one was picking that up, do you know?
Swinging from the chandelier. We know about you and your McDonald's car, pal. well, thank you so much for coming in and spilling a bit of tea. That's what we love here at Access All Areas.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Really appreciate it. And Bob, good to have you back. Glad you're alive.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
And you'll be back next week?
I'll be back next week. And thanks again, guys, everyone, for like, all your lovely messages. It means a lot. And
have you had any blue tick dick as a result of this? That's a good question.
Oh, we've got about 15 seconds until the show ends. I'm gutted, but tune in next week, folks. 6 p.m. Access All Areas live on FUBAR Radio.
Thank you very much, guys. And thank you to Mark and thank you to Caroline, your little pre-record. And we'll be back next week.
We certainly will. Until then, bye, guys.
Goodbye. Bye.